Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Jump into the epic world of Avatar: The Last Airbender
with Nickelodeon's official companion podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Comedy Central.
Coming to you from New York City, the only city in America, it's The Daily Show. Tonight, the midterm elections are upon us. Christiane Amanpour and Tyler Perry. This is The Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to The Daily Show. I'm Trevor Noah. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Got a great show for you tonight. Republicans are promising to cut jobs. Everything in the UK is on sale, and Darth Vader has found a new voice. Plus, Tyler Perry is joining us on the show, and we're going to be chatting to Christiane Amanpour about what's happening in Iran. So let's do this, people. Let's jump straight into today's headlines. All right. Before we get into the big stories, let's catch up on a few other things going on in the world. We kick things off with big news from the NFL, which has announced that this year's Super Bowl halftime show will be headlined by Rihanna. And we can all agree on what that means, right? That means that this isn't the Super Bowl anymore. This is a Rihanna concert with football around it, all right? That's what it is. In government news, the CIA has announced that it is launching a podcast. Yeah, which is great because I guess now for a change, we're gonna be listening to them. And I know a lot of people are doubtful about this. They think it's weird, but I think it's gonna be a huge hit, you know? Yeah, because the CIA said that they're gonna use the same tactics they used when they launched crack. So this podcast is gonna go everywhere. It's gonna be really good. Oh, in international news, Italy has elected its first female prime minister. Yeah. Yeah. Who is also a right-wing politician who loves Mussolini. Too late, you cheered. No, you cheered. You can't take your cheers back. You can't take your cheers back. You love her already. Yeah, this is bittersweet for Italian liberals because a woman broke the glass ceiling, but she did it by throwing an immigrant through it. All right, let's move on to the big stories of the day. Starting with Star Wars, the sci-fi movie that made incest cool. For almost 50 years, James Earl Jones has been the voice behind Darth Vader, the most famous villain in movie history, and most famous asthmatic. But on Friday, Disney announced that the Force is gonna be moving on.
James Earl Jones is reportedly retiring from voicing Darth Vader, but Star Wars fans may not even notice. Vanity Fair says the 91-year-old actor has signed off on a plan to use artificial intelligence to craft new dialogue from his old voice recordings.
You see, the Little Mermaid becomes black and they take away James Earl Jones! Ah, I told you there'd be backlash, I told you! No, I'm joking. The legendary actor has retired from doing the voice. That's all that happened. And what's interesting to me is that you heard what they said. Instead of trying to find someone else to voice the part, Disney has said they're gonna use artificial intelligence to replicate Darth Vader's voice. Yeah, I don't know, people. This makes me a little nervous. Yeah, we think AI is gonna take over the world. And now we're gonna teach it to use the dark side of the Force? No one thinks this is a bad idea. But I get it. I mean, that voice is iconic. You know, it belongs in Darth Vader's body or announcing CNN promos, but that's it.
And that's the last thing we need. The last thing we need is them opening the role up to, like, other famous people. Like, that could spoil. You know when they do that with roles and then it becomes weird? You know? Can you imagine Darth Vader being voiced by someone else?
Luke, I am your father. But until your mama shows me the paternity test, you can just call me Uncle Darth.
And for our main story tonight, I am your father. That's right, Luke, I am your daddy. And yes, that upsets me as much as it upsets you, Luke.
A lot of people are saying I'm your father, Luke. They're saying they've never seen a better father. And they're right. I love all my children. It's you, it's Ivanka, and that's it.
It would have never worked. All right, enough of that. Let's move on from Star Wars to another ongoing battle, the midterm elections, in our latest installment of Votedemic 2022. We're now just 6 weeks away from Election Day, which means each party is making their closing pitches to the voters. Democrats are promising that if they win, they will secure abortion rights and share Nancy Pelosi's stock tips. And Friday, to counter that message, Republicans revealed their new policy idea.
House Republicans are unveiling their plan to win back the majority in November. On Friday, House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, who is eyeing the Speaker's gavel, announced his new GOP agenda called the Commitment to America.
But on that very first day that we're sworn in, you'll see that it all changes. Because on our very first bill, we're going to repeal 87,000 IRS agents. Our job is to work for you, not go after you.
God damn. 87,000 IRS agents fired. Yeah. But I just sweep the floors. Well, sweep them at home, because your ass is gone. Hashtag Republicans. I also love the language they use when they're trying to be tactical, right? When they complain about jobs going away, they'll be like, you're losing jobs, you're getting fired. When it's then, they're like, we're going to repeal these jobs. And if you're thinking that 87,000 is a weirdly specific number, that's because it is the exact number of IRS employees hired by the Biden administration a couple of months ago. Yeah, and the idea behind this was that the government could get more money if the IRS was better able to crack down on all the tax cheats, like billionaires and corporations, right? Which makes sense. Although another way to get more money in taxes would be to not make doing taxes feel like solving the formula for the time-space continuum. They could make it easier. Yeah, I'm gonna spend all weekend combining line 15C with line 38B. If I wanted to be an accountant, I would have been an accountant, goddammit. But now the GOP is promising fewer IRS agents, which means you have less of a chance of getting audited, which means you don't have to worry as much about paying your taxes. And you know who it is? Yeah, basically the GOP is that kid who ran for class president in ninth grade on a platform of making homework illegal. And you're like, this doesn't seem responsible or even possible, but yeah, he has my vote, yeah. He has my vote. But look, this IRS bill has a good chance of happening, because remember, the Republicans are still expected to take control of the House this year. For many reasons, yeah. Joe Biden's unpopularity, the way congressional districts are drawn, people are hearing that Republicans are giving away free flights to Martha's Vineyard. But remember, it's not a sure thing. They might win, but it's not a sure thing. And part of the reason it's not as sure as it should be is because the Republicans keep putting up candidates like this.
Republican House candidate J.R. Majewski is struggling in his campaign in Northwest Ohio. The 42-year-old Republican first launched into fame by painting Donald Trump into his lawn and raised eyebrows last year with a rap video attacking Joe Biden.
Joe is focused on ice cream while he's crapping his pants. We want our dreams and our freedom. This is our last chance.
Majewski is now in hot water again, facing accusations that he lied about being deployed to Afghanistan after 9/11. When in fact, he served away from combat. Majewski says the documents proving that he saw combat are top secret.
In fact, the orders and the military records that I've been able to obtain from my personal files shows that all of my deployments are listed as classified.
Yeah, that's right, people. He cannot prove that he was in combat because all of the records are classified. And I believe him. Man, I've been there. I've been there. I have. When I was in middle school, my girlfriend was classified too, and it sucks. She was so hot, guys. I wish you could have seen her, but oh, man, she was so classified. Well, for real, if you weren't in active combat, you can't just say you were in active combat, right? Especially to get elected. Right? At a dinner party, we get it. You know, I killed bin Laden. Ooh. But lying about it in active combat isn't just disrespectful to all the troops who are actually in active combat. It's also extremely misleading to the voters, right? If you're going to say you're doing top secret combat in Afghanistan and you can't show it to us, you should at least have to prove it, you know? You should have to do some SEAL Team 6 shit in front of us. Yeah, like the guy standing next to you. Just snap his neck on stage. Right, then I'll believe you. Then we'll be like, oh, shit, did you see that? Oh! And then the guy I'm talking to, his head slides off his body. I'm like, ah! But it looks like this guy wasn't in active combat and he didn't kill anything. Other than that rap music video. That was a... Rap did not survive that video. Rest in peace, hip-hop. Oh, we will remember you. We will remember you. All right, but let's move on to some international news. Because America isn't the only country in the world, you know? There's like 10 others. 3 weeks ago, the UK was introduced to its new prime minister, Liz Truss, who announced that she was gonna get Britain back on track. She just didn't mention which way the track would be going.
This morning, the British pound plunged nearly 5% to a record low against the US dollar, levels like this not seen since the 80s, this amid growing fears of instability in the UK. Friday, British officials announced the largest tax cuts in 50 years, while also boosting government borrowing and spending. Worries there this will be inflationary.
This seems to be a vote of no support for the new government here, and it's a big, ambitious plans announced late last week.
Yeah, so here's what happened. Liz Truss introduced a round of tax cuts for the wealthy, and in response, the British currency has collapsed, which is not what they wanted. Yeah. And at some point, can we admit that even lifelong politicians don't actually know what they're doing? Right? Can we admit that? We just assume they have some idea of the way things work, but they just run things the way we used to play Mortal Kombat, you know? Just hit all the buttons and hope for a fatality. Come on, Liu Kang, come on! I actually feel bad for Liz Truss, because this was the first bill that she proposed, and it tanked the entire economy. Can you imagine being prime minister and your first idea, everyone's like, oh, you blew it, you wanker. Oh, sell all of our money. It's worthless now. Thanks, Liz. I'm kidding. Obviously, the bill wasn't the first thing she did. The first thing she did was kill the queen, right? This was the second thing. That's what it was. All right, that's it for the headlines. But before we go to a quick break, let's check in on the stock market with our finance expert, Michael Costa, everybody. What is happening in the markets today?
I am crushing the market, Trevor. Consistent, exponential growth. And I got a hot tip for you, and a hot tip for you.
You know, you always say that you're crushing it, but like, how are you crushing? Like, what do you invest in?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Trevor, and I would love to tell you, but it's classified, okay? And look, it's hard to constantly be crushing it, especially right now. World markets are down. I mean, look at this, you know? In response, governments around the world are raising their rates. And here's what people don't realize. This is why I'm an expert. If you raise prices, things get more expensive, okay? A lot of people don't know that. But look, you know who's not crushing it? The British, okay? The British pound is way down. I mean, look at this chart, okay? This looks bad. This looks like my face when I made my own face serum from TikTok. But, by the way, doesn't it kind of piss you off that they added a last name to their money? You know, how far up your own ass are you when you give your money a last name? I mean, pound sterling? The dollar should do that, right? Dollar, first name. Dollar, middle name. Bills, last name. Y'all, suffix. Right? Yeah. Hello. Hello, I'm pound sterling. What up? I'm dollar bills, y'all. Look, now let's Let's dig into this. Let's look at the chart right here. Also, I think it's funny that they had to, like, make a little crown right there, you know? We get it. Look, people are blaming the tax cuts. They're blaming Liz Truss. But no, here's what happened with the pound. The queen, okay, rest in power, okay? She passed away. Now, you can see right here, this moment right here is where the Brits realize Charles is going to be on their money, all right? Having a 70-year-old man in your pants is never exciting, okay? Look at this. And it's definitely not going to stimulate your economy. Now, if you're an American tourist, this can be used to your advantage because now is the best time to buy British goods like swords stuck in stones or Scotland or extra U's for random words like color or neighborhood, you know, British things. Now, Trevor, these governments, they're trying to do too much. Raising interest rates, conversion rates, inflation, monetization, consideration. I have a solution, okay? In order to stimulate the economy, all we have to do is add hot people to our cash, not Charles, okay? Way more people are likely to take out money and spend it if there's pictures of sexy people on the money. Imagine pulling out a dollar and it's got Paul Rudd on it or Sofia Vergara or Paul Rudd, you know? Imagine taking out a 20 and you look and it's that guy from I Love You Man, but it isn't Jason Segel, you know, Paul Rudd, right?
Michael, can you just give us a hot tip?
Yeah, I promise you a hot tip.
Okay. Hot tip.
If we do get sexy people on the money, like I'm suggesting, and you could rub them together, that's like two sexy people kissing. Okay? And you, okay, on one bill you get like a hot leading lady, and on the other bill you could get someone from that, you know, This Is 40 or Ant-Man, you know, like a Paul Rudd, right? And you could, that's hot. Back to you, Trevor.
Thank you so much for that, Michael Costa. All right, when we come back, we're going to be chatting to Christiane Amanpour about the fight for freedom in Iran, so don't go away.
All benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests from creators to cast to superfans to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Everyone has been talking about the situation in Iran. And if you haven't heard, about 10 days ago, a young woman named Mahsa Amini was arrested by the morality police for not properly covering her hair, and then she died in their custody. Ever since then, Iranians have been pouring into the streets demanding justice for her death and freedom for Iran's women. Now, so far, the government has answered the protesters with brutal violence and has shown no signs of reconsidering the law that requires women to cover their hair. In fact, last week, the president of Iran was scheduled to be interviewed by CNN's Christiane Amanpour in New York. And at the last minute, he demanded that she wear a headscarf for the interview, even though the interview was in New York. And when she refused, he straight up just canceled the interview and left. Just left her looking like she was giving therapy to a ghost. So joining me now to talk about the interview and the situation in Iran is Christiane Amanpour. Christiane, welcome to the Daily Show. Let's jump straight into it. You have interviewed many Iranian presidents. You have never been in a situation like this before where they demanded of you that you wear the headscarf, not in Iran. Walk me through the situation and also why you chose to not do what the president of Iran requested.
Well, very briefly, like, you know, with my team, we wanted to do this interview and we were going to get the Iranian president's first and exclusive interview on American soil. And as you know, because New Yorkers know, it's gridlock at the UN. This is the UN week. And one of the things we like to do is get voices from all over the world, including the Iranian president. So I've done this now many years, and I've always had the first interview with the latest Iranian president, and it's never been an issue. There is no law in the United States that requires a journalist to wear a scarf for any interview. And it was never an issue. And by the way, I find out that this guy, he had a breakfast, he had a press conference, and he didn't require anybody to wear a scarf. So, you know, come to the evening and it's now 8 o'clock, and then they say he's praying and he's resting and, you know, we're going to do it a little bit later. And suddenly an aide came and said, we would like, the president would like you to wear a scarf. Mm-hmm. I'm like, why? No, I don't have to wear a scarf. Anyway, cut to the chase. It is not law. And as a journalist, I made instantaneously a journalistic decision based on the principle that A, it wasn't law, and B, you don't get, you know, strong-armed by a foreign government or any government when you're trying to sit and conduct a previously arranged interview.
It seems like, and I can't help thinking, that this was most probably, I guess, in some way, shape, or form, motivated by the timing. You know, you are of Iranian descent. Do you think that there was an element of him not wanting to appear on camera with you for fear of a message it may send to a country that's very quickly turning against this dictator?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I don't know that for sure, but I do actually believe that he did not want to be seen with a woman whose head was uncovered, right at the same time that in his own country there was an uprising on the streets, and in fact a woman had died, a young woman had died because of this, mm-hmm. While in the custody of the morality police. And I will just say that this morality police has been around since, you know, 40 plus years of the Islamic Revolution, but under some presidents it's less obvious and less strict, and under some it's much more strict. So this particular president is one of the very hardline variety, and he basically came to power by making the crackdown on all sorts of social norms, including on women's dress and their activity. That was a central theme of his campaign, and, you know, clearly it's all gone, as we say, pear-shaped, because I don't think he expected that something like this would cause the worst uprising in Iran since 2009. It's really interesting, and your, you know, your audience should know, and your viewers, that some 80% of the Iranian people are under the age of 21. 60% of Iranian students and university graduates are women. Women have a lot of power, and they want their full rights.
I think they have every right to want that. And across the world, you know, I think there may be some misconception. Some see this as these women completely going up against Islam, when in fact it's not that. What they're saying is they have nothing against anybody practicing a religion or anyone, you know, dressing the way their religion requires. Their qualm seems to be about the government forcing people to do it should they not wish to. Is that correct?
Look, that is correct. The fact of the matter is that it is the law, at least the social law. I don't know if it's written in the, you know, in the legal, mm-hmm. The legal books, but it is the social and religious law, and it has been since the beginning of the revolution, which happened in 1979. But interestingly, Trevor, you know, the women came out in the streets back then, 40 plus years ago, to also call for a change of regime. But they were not wearing headscarves. And there was no question at that time, where at the beginning, of headscarves being compulsory. I know women who went into the streets at that time, including members of my own family, who wanted to get rid of one monarchy for what they thought was going to be democracy. Then, very shortly thereafter, Ayatollah Khomeini said, oh, no, actually, you women, you need to be, you know, veiled. And that has been a bubbling cauldron for the last many, many years. I had a wonderful woman on my show tonight, Marjan Satrapi. If any of you know the graphic novel Persepolis, which she wrote about her childhood, she basically said this. Look, the people of Iran want a democracy. The minute you take off the veil, you know, their dictatorship will go. So the regime is not going to allow that. But she said, she put it this way, it's only to keep men's eyes off women. So if they're so horny, she said, and they're so unable to control themselves, well, maybe they should take a cold shower or look somewhere else. And that's the bottom line. And I'm, you know, sorry to say that even in your country, Trevor, even in the United States, with this law that has, you know, banned the ability for women to make their own choices about their own bodies, it's something incredibly important that we have to, you know, keep an eye on. And that, in that moment, I was not, as a journalist or as a woman, going to put a headscarf on and somehow bind myself in some kind of, you know.
Well, as always, I appreciate you taking the time to join us on the show. I appreciate you. You know, I've grown up watching you cover all of these stories. And as always, I appreciate the work that you do out there. Thank you so much for joining us on The Daily Show once again.
Thank you.
Be sure to watch Christian's Amanpour show. It is on CNNi, which airs weekdays on PBS in the United States. We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back after this.
Benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Show. My guest tonight is a writer, he's a director, he's an actor, and he's a producer who has built an entertainment empire. He's here to talk about his latest film, A Jazz Man's Blues, which is now streaming on Netflix. Please welcome Tyler Perry.
How are you?
I played that clip, and then I said, please welcome Tyler Perry. Yeah. And I know some people are watching that going, wait, was that Tyler Perry singing that? What you said Tyler Perry, what is happening here? Yeah. This is a very different movie. People say Tyler Perry, we think there'll be a type of movie that comes out, and this is not it. Tell me about the movie.
Yeah, Madea's not in this. There's no, it's set in the 1940s, and she does not pop out from behind a tree going, hello, it doesn't happen. I actually wrote this movie 27 years ago, my first movie I ever wrote.
I heard that,
And I'd been holding on to it for a very long time because I had to be intentional about building my studio, doing things that work, because I couldn't take a chance on doing a period piece, especially 10, 15 years ago.
Huh.
So I made everything work and solidified myself, so now I can do the things that I've always wanted to do, and this is one of them.
So let's go back to the inception of this. Tyler Perry, 26 years ago, goes, I want to make a story that's about jazz, but more importantly, it's a period piece set in the 1940s, and it's about forbidden love. What attracted you to that time period? Why the story? What was it about this that made you want to make it?
I couldn't afford to go to theater, so I would sneak in at intermission, and there was a show at, you know, people would come out to smoke, and then when they went back in, I would act like I had bought a ticket, and I'd walk in with them.
I like that.
And there was a August Wilson play in Atlanta at the time called Two Trains Running. And I got a chance to see it, and it blew me away. Well, the second half, anyway. And there was an after party, and I got a chance to talk to him. I said, you know, I'm doing this play. I wrote this play called I Know I've Been Changed. It's not working very well. You know, people say it's Chitlin Circuit. It's very lowbrow. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling low on myself and bad about it. And he was so encouraging. He said, let me tell you the power of the Chitlin Circuit and what it did for all of us as black people. But also, let me encourage you to write whatever's on your heart. Don't be limited. And I went home and started writing Jazz Man. From August Wilson. Yeah.
You know, you're one of the most fascinating human beings in entertainment for me because you occupy so many different zeitgeists. You know, people have ideas of you, people have ideas about what you create.
Yeah.
And it seems like you exist not despite it, but in spite of it. It's almost like you know. You even said to me, you know, I won't make you watch a Madea movie, but I'll make you watch this one.
I won't force you to watch a Madea movie, but I want you to watch this one.
Right, but even in that, I, you know what I find interesting about that is, How have you been able to operate or work in a world where so many people have an idea of what you create and why it should or shouldn't be created? Mm-hmm. And you haven't pigeonholed yourself. You've gone, I create whatever I would like to create, you know, in spite of what people say about what I create.
Well listen, I'm number one, I'm very familiar with my audience. The audience that I grew up with, the people that I know what they love and like. If we are, I am them, they are me. So when I'm telling those kind of stories, again, it's intentionality, the Medeas of it all, the mm-hmm. why did I get mm-hmm. married? Those stories helped me build a multi-billion dollar brand in this huge studio. So I knew that that is the lane that I had to walk in, and I won't ever leave it because I love seeing it.
I love that.
I won't ever leave it. But I also know that there are other sides of me. You know, while I was getting panned by critics for Madea, I always had Jazzman in my back pocket. So to be in this moment, it feels really good to see people understand that just because you come from one place or you mm-hmm. do one thing, doesn't mean you have to stay there. Yeah.
I like
that. Yeah.
I like that a lot. I also love how you have this connection with not just Madea, but the idea of Madea. What the character has done for you, what the audience has done for you, what you've built with them. And I like that you say, I'm not just going to leave it now,
no,
because this is a part of myself.
Yeah.
I always wondered this, and maybe it's on a personal level, just seeing you as a human being. There was this moment where Tyler Perry blew up, is the best way to put it, you know? Mm. All of a sudden, all of film was in Atlanta, and people were coming to your studios now, and now Marvel needed Tyler Perry's phone number, and you became larger than life in the industry. You created a new level of respect for black creators and for black studio executives, etc. But one thing I always wondered with you was, it seemed like you were super confident as Madea, and it seemed like as Tyler Perry, you were like, finding yourself in this journey. I always wonder, was I just seeing that, or was that something that I was just projecting onto you?
Madea's, you can't be more confident than Madea. I mean, she is what she is. To be that size and have those breasts, you have to be super confident, right? But no, I what people don't know about me is I'm an introvert. I pose as an extrovert.
Okay.
So I'm always awkward in those situations.
Okay.
So that may be what it is.
Okay, but but everything. I mean, you know, people started seeing you online and you started working out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there was Tyler Perry with a six pack and Tyler Perry started living this life. It's been amazing to watch, genuinely.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why. Because, you know, it was something that Oprah, funny enough, said to me about how you changed her life, which is a crazy sentence to say, by the way. Can we just acknowledge?
Yeah.
It was Oprah as a guest. But she said to me, she said, it was Tyler Perry who finally helped me realize that I had made it, that I had made money, that I was rich. I was like, what do you mean, Oprah? You're Oprah. Mm. And she says, yes, but I had grown up so poor and I struggled for so long that I never allowed myself the opportunity to enjoy the fruits of my labor. And it was Tyler Perry who called me one day and said, hey, Oprah, you're rich, relax.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I want to know who called you or who instilled that in you. Because you've also come up just, I mean, I've seen the first idea of a studio you had. Who instilled that in you?
Nobody. I'm still waiting for him. No. But I will tell you, but to go back to this Oprah thing, she left out a part of that because she gets off her private jet and she has a garbage bag, mixed matched luggage and all this other stuff. And I call up, I'm like, Oprah, what are you doing? Buy luggage that matches. You're getting off a private plane. So that's the part she left out of the story. But honestly, she had already been that for me. Just the level of, because even though she's a very wealthy woman and she has a lot, Oprah's not a money. I got money. That's not who she is.
Mm-hmm.
The genuineness of her shows through, and she also showed me how to be graceful inside of all of it. But
I like
also
that.
Sidney Poitier. Just the man with the class and the grace and the way he held himself and carried himself. He was one of the first black men that I saw that had that kind of presence.
Wow.
And I wanted to be like that. And I never heard him talk about money.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is really amazing. You are a pioneer. You know, oftentimes in life they say it's easier to chase a goal that other people have set because you know where you're trying to get to. But then once you get there, it becomes difficult because you don't know where else to go.
Mm.
You are at that place now. What does Tyler Perry dream of? I mean, when you have the studios that the movies are made in, you make the movies, you can write your own character. What do you dream about?
At this point, you know, that's why when I finished Jazzman and shot it and got it out, now it's coming out tomorrow or on Netflix, the level of grief I felt was shocking to me because I'd been holding on to it so long. It was like a kid going off to college and now you've got an empty nest. So I'm like, well, what's next? What do I want to do next?
This project was that important to you?
Oh, my God, it was that important. Yeah, and to hold it all of that time while you're hearing all of this other stuff about your work, it was really tough. But to now to let it go and be out there, I felt a sense of grief. But what I also understand is that the thing that is keeping me going right now, there's mm-hmm. no other reason for me to do this other than to come to the studio every day and work alongside people who have never had a chance in this business. I've got people working in Grip and Electric who were former prisoners who have been in jail for 20 years,
wow.
working side by side. And to have somebody come up to me and say, Tyler, I just want to thank you so much because I just bought my mother a house.
Oh,
that kind
man.
Of thing. It's like, how can I stop?
Wow.
And what would have happened had I not done it? Like, all of their dreams were tied into my destiny, so I have to keep going. So that's what I want to do. That's what keeps me going.
It keeps you going?
Yeah.
It keeps the people going.
Yes.
I appreciate you so much. Thank you for joining me on the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Always. Tyler Perry, everybody. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Thank you.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to super fans, to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods too by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.
Before we go, please consider supporting World Central Kitchen. They're on the front lines, providing meals in response to humanitarian, climate, and community crises. Most recently in Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic following Hurricane Fiona. And they're also in Pakistan following the devastating floods over there. So this is an amazing organization that you can help if you have any means. Until next time, stay safe out there. And remember, the pound is now worthless. So just send them to me and I'll figure out what to do with them.
Watch The Daily Show weeknights at 11, 10 Central on Comedy Central, and stream full episodes anytime on Paramount Plus.
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to super fans, to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods too by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody. So whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts
or wherever you get your podcasts.